This week on All About Android, we are discussing so much hardware. We've got a hands-on with the Samsung Galaxy Fold with Pocket Now's Jaime Rivera. We've got Ron's review of the Moto G7, and that is just the tip of the Android iceberg. There is so much hardware in this show. All About Android is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. Turn your dreams into reality and launch your website at WordPress.com. Get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid.
Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 416, filmed live on April 16th, 2019. We are your source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I am Florence Ion.
And I'm Ron Richards, back just in time for Jason to be out this week.
Yes.
So I missed last week. Jason misses this week. It's all good because we have an awesome guest who's going to join us for the top of the show.
Yes, right, we have Jaime Rivera at Pocket Now. Jaime, you're a CCO now. What's a CCO? Tell us.
Chief Creative Officer, I guess.
Oh, I like that. So you get to come up with all the creative directions of Pocket Now?
Let's just say it's just making a lot of things official, pretty much.
Okay.
Very creative. Well, Jaime, we're so excited to have you on because we have a packed show. Right, Flo? We've got so much hardware to talk about this episode. We've got a bunch of awesome other stuff going on in the Android world. But let's dive right into it because, Jaime, we don't have you for the whole time. People got their hands on the Samsung Galaxy Fold, and you were one of them, correct?
You mean this one?
Oh, he has it in person. Oh, they let you go home with one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell us about the whole experience because that was a bit of a surprise, right?
So honestly, we were summoned to, a private event. We assumed, like all of us, none of us were prepared to leave with the product. I mean, we kind of heard that there were limited supplies and everything. And no, I mean, they gave us the full time to play with the device. They gave us their preview and everything to expect about it. And then when we were on our way out, they're like, yeah, and here's your package. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, you just had me for 45 minutes inside, filming my hands-on and everything, and now you tell me I can leave with one? I would have left 45 minutes ago.
Oh, so you were sweating bullets, trying to get all the B-roll that you could without realizing that they would give you one B-roll.
You know how we work. Like, if I would have known, I would have just jumped out of there and gone to our office to film.
Right.
But they had some experiences with the whole idea of augmenting the fact that you have this product, particularly the unboxing experience. They had these like special boxes. We actually teased that on our Instagram. And the experience has been interesting. I've been using it for 24 hours. I'm actually, the reason I need to go is because I'm working on my 24 hours video to tell, you know, everybody about it. Because setting up this phone is like different. It's unique. It's not like, it's like a Galaxy S10 Plus, but then it's not, because there are things that are completely different. And it's understandable. For Samsung, this is a new form factor. That's the whole idea.
Oh, I'm sure Ron has a lot of questions. Ron, should we roll the bumper first, and then we can get into...
Yeah, we dove right in. We went off script. Let's make this official and go into hardware.
Yeah, let's do it officially.
Do it. Do it.
Gotta get that nice music in. Okay, now it is time.
Now it's for real. So Galaxy Fold, right out of the box, you said you got a great unboxing experience. My first question is, what does the Fold feel like? Do you feel it creaking?
Yes.
Does it click? Does it crack? What does it feel like?
Listen to this. How does this sound? This is the coolest thing, the sound that the magnets make.
Oh.
The magnets are crazy strong. Like if I could... do I have an Apple Pencil here? Like, it'll literally cling on to anything. It's very, very strong.
Oh, wow.
Another use very for your strong. Samsung Galaxy Fold.
So now, what does it sound like when you fold it out, Matt? Like, does it, when it opens out?
It doesn't sound like anything. There are no audio, you know, no audio cues that you've extended it. The feel is interesting. It's literally like if you have a Galaxy S10 with you, it's like stacking two together.
Wow.
Okay.
So it's like two together. And so that's good and that's bad. That's not necessarily my cue for a best experience, because it's not a pocketable device. So for example, what you get in the box, you get a pair of Galaxy Buds. You get this interesting case made of Kevlar, and it's actually two pieces in one.
Oh, wow.
Because you have to snap it on. And so here's the thing. Because it's – and what else do you get? You get, you know, your typical wiring, USB-A, adapter, OTG. That's what you get in the box. But, you know, probably the most interesting part is, again, it's because it's so thick. This – like I've been trying to fit it on my jean pockets all day. No.
Really?
Unless you're using like baggy jeans or something like that, this is not a comfortable phone in your pocket.
Yeah,
it's
baggy
not.
Jeans aren't in anymore, so it's going to hurt a lot of people.
Exactly. So if you remember those ads, or probably I'm too old, but the ads of the Razr where it could fit into like really skinny jeans. Okay, this is not the phone. Not the phone at all. Again, grab two phones, two Galaxy S10s, and stack them together. That's how this phone feels. It is thick. And it's not just thick, but also, let me try to... There's a clip where I show the specifications in the video. You notice that there's a separation in between?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It looks like two phones held together by a
hinge. And sure, there's a lot of beautiful technology here and everything. But, you know, going back to the feel, probably... For me, the most interesting part is it doesn't – it's like if Samsung doesn't want it to feel like a phone. It's like, listen, whatever we've been doing for the past decade of flat slabs and everything, this is something different. And so it's got its pros and its cons. It's got the pros that it's like really good for one-handed use because of the small display up front. It's very, very easy to manipulate. The problem is that the screen is like – it's like an external screen for an old flip phone. Mm. You won't be able to do much with it.
That was my question. What do you find yourself doing with the front screen? Yeah.
Okay. So once I figured out a couple of things. So like one of the things that I'm writing on my script right now for my video is like the first thing is the launchers are different. So whatever you see in the external screen is not what you'll see in the internal.
Oh, my gosh. That is a throwback.
Yeah. It's a completely different thing. And so you won't complain about the quality of either displays. Both displays are gorgeous and everything. It's just the external one doesn't necessarily work with the internal one. And so however you have your folder set on the inner screens is not how it works on the outside. You're going to have to set your folders up again. A separate time. So that's not a good experience. And then like the only thing that's like mirrored is like if you select that you want the app tray on the front display, it'll bring you the app tray on the back display, but then your folders are all gone and you have to start over. So that is it's like that level of disparity is probably one of the things that at first had me a little off. And then I just took the time to build my folders and that was it. Because like folders, like if you notice, all you can fit are three icons at the front. That's about it. And then I had to like widgets are like extremely small.
Yeah.
Like this is not a usable screen.
That looks like really not small text. That doesn't look comfortable to read.
Exactly. It is not. And then you've got cases like, for example, it's designed for you to interact with the product, like if you're on a rush. But then the Samsung keyboard, because I'm multilingual and you're multilingual too.
Yeah, cool.
I switched the Samsung keyboard off because I'm multilingual. And so, you know, I drift more to SwiftKey because of that functionality in addition to the swipe flow sort of design that SwiftKey has, which is crazy. It's really practical for the outer display. That, you know, swiping on that keyboard is the best thing you can do. But then the problem is that because this thing is so wide, on the inside you have to use the keyboard split. But then if you split it on the inside, one thing that does mirror is that it'll split the keyboard on the outside. And so that's just like, what? That's one thing that I wish I had an option to, like, have one keyboard for the outside, one keyboard for the inside, but that actually does mirrors. It's weird.
Yeah. So have you had a chance to play with any of the other folding phone prototypes that are out there? And if so, how does this one compare?
I was one of the first people to try out the Mate X by mere coincidence. I was just at the right place at the right time. And actually, I did a video because before touching the Mate X, because when we were at MWC in Barcelona, they didn't let anybody touch the Fold at all. We were at the Unpacked event. Flo, you were there with me. They didn't let us touch the Galaxy Fold at all. Mm-hmm. It actually wasn't even on display. I even heard that there were certain people that were allowed to touch it, but we weren't part of that group. We were at MWC. We were invited to a special preview. Still weren't allowed to touch it. And, you know, in between that, I land at the right party at the right time with the right person from Huawei. And he's like, you want to play with the X? And I'm like, if I can show it on video, yes. And he's like, yeah, here, hold it. And so somebody filmed me using it. The Mate X is a completely different product. The Mate X is more like, I don't know. I didn't believe in foldables before that. And that's the reason why he gave me the product, because he's like, I've been watching your videos. I've been hearing you criticize the concept of foldables. Here's a foldable. Tell me what you think. And I'm like, wow. So my response was, okay, I've changed my mind. But the reason why is because the Mate X feels like a Galaxy Note 9. It's slightly thicker than a Galaxy Note 9 when it's closed, but then when you open it, it feels like a Kindle Oasis. And so it feels like two products that are already in the market. And for me, that was the thing. Like, if the product can feel like a phone when you use it like a phone, then great. The Galaxy Fold doesn't. The Galaxy Fold feels like a tablet with an assisted small, you know, secondary screen. That's how it feels like. But it's more like a tablet than anything.
That's what my main – now, I was not invited. I did not get an unboxing experience. And listen, I'm pro foldable, so maybe that's why. They don't need to convert me.
I wasn't.
Yeah, but my main kind of takeaway after seeing the Galaxy Fold was that how functional as a phone is this? This looks like a tablet you can fold in half. And same thing with the Huawei Mate. So it's really interesting to hear that the Mate feels like a phone and not a tablet.
The Mate – when you close it, and it's funny how many people were criticizing the Mate because of the design. So it's got this button that you press and it unsnaps and it opens up. And it turned, but the thing about it is it feels like a Kindle Oasis. If you've ever used one, that's exactly the feel, from the lightweightness of the design to the sturdiness of the product. It feels like a very well done product. And then you snap it in the back. And so obviously that brings a lot of challenges. That display is a polymer. It'll scratch. That's the smart thing about the Fold, the fact that the screen is protected on the inside. So from a durability standpoint, I feel that this device will probably last longer. This device is like a mishmash of hardware. Like, on the outside, it's aluminum, it's glass at the bottom. And then on the top, it's got this sort of like polycarbonate. And then it's the special polymer inside for the screen. And you won't be able to see it here. You have to, like, and this is something that I just noticed like 30 minutes ago. It's got a screen protector on the plastic.
Built in already.
But it's so well, like, I'm not even going to try to take it off because I can't just buy a replacement. But you can totally see that there's a sort of a screen protector here. But you have to look like really closely to notice it. In the case of the Mate X, there's a case that will protect the outside that'll feel like a holster. But yeah, I know that for me, yes, from a durability standpoint, I feel that the Mate X is not going to last as much. But then, here's the thing. That one does feel like a phone when you close it. You close it, and again, it's like if you're using a Galaxy Note, like what you're showing in the video right there. Not that screen that you're showing, but the other one, the one at the front. Both screens are actually usable, but the larger screen actually makes it feel like a Note 9. And then when you open it, it feels like an Android tablet, which is funny because Android tablets were never really popular.
No.
So after getting to play with both of these and getting a so is the foldable thing a gimmick? Is this just a trend that we're going through and it's not going to stay? Or is this truly the future of phones?
Yeah.
I called it before a solution in search of a problem. Like a smartwatch. You don't need a smartwatch. It's like a tablet. You don't need a tablet. These are just really cool, convenient things. You do need a smartphone. You do need a computer. And these products are like trying to blur the lines in between and provide, I would say, enhanced experiences. But in the case of tablets, we've already discovered that they are more practical for content consumption. I'd rather consume on a tablet than I would on a computer. So it makes sense. Like Samsung's argument in the briefing was, okay, people want a larger screen, but they don't want to carry a larger device. And so their solution is to create the foldable. That sort of makes sense. I wish the foldable were thinner, I guess. That's the biggest challenge. The thing about it is, if you guys remember what, smartphones used to be, I mean, this is just the situation we're in. This is where technology is right now. And even if in the past I would call these a solution in search of a problem, these are really cool solutions. Crazy expensive, but, the more that I play with it, the more that I like it. It needs to grow on me. It's like one of those things where it's like, I assume it's like the first time you ever used a smartphone after coming from a keyboard, like a typical BlackBerry keyboard, and then moving to a screen. My God, my first 2 weeks with an iPhone were horrible. just trying to adapt from using a hardware keyboard to using that, glass screen. And now if you make me use a BlackBerry again, I can't. I guess there's muscle memory involved. It's a paradigm shift. For Samsung, this is a new form factor. For Huawei, this is a new form factor. And, it'll take time for the technology to be perfected. The hinge design is crazy. If you look at the internal, we saw a full presentation over how the hinge works. There's a lot of hardware here. There are a lot of moving parts in this thing to make this possible.
If you run your fingers across it, can you feel the little crease in the middle?
You can.
Okay.
You can. You will definitely feel the crease. If you're using the dark mode, you will be able to see it as well. If you're using the regular it actually comes by default with the white display. And so you won't be able to see it that way. It's only when you use the dark mode. And it's not that you see, for me, it doesn't really bother me. It's like, for me, I know that a lot of people complain about it. And I'm like, dude, it's like complaining about the crease on a book. It opens and closes. It's meant to do that. So there will be something in the middle. It's like a car door where, because it needs to open, it's going to have these like little cutouts on the borders of the door. That's just the way it is. There's no sort of liquid metal that'll just open the door and nothing will be shown. That's just the way things are. It's engineering.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's engineering.
Do you feel like the front of the phone, though, like it doesn't look like a Galaxy S10? It looks, like you said, it's an addendum to the actual folding device.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it make you not want to? Because I would imagine multitasking, for instance, I'm rushing. Maybe I'm trying to look for the map on my phone and I don't want to open my phone. Can you do that comfortably, or do you feel like you have to open it to really use it?
So, for example, if you're using anything other than a Galaxy S10e, using a smartphone today with one hand is a nightmare. That's just the way it is. Because this product is thicker and because the screen is so narrow, I have found myself finding it just easier. I get a notification, I immediately react to it. And because there's app continuity, you then decide, do I need to open the thing or do I just continue here? And I just feel that Samsung still needs to work on their keyboard. If they could add swipe functionality, they would make it even easier to be able to, because then that would be like the total one-handed use product, where I just respond to a message quickly and then I just shut the phone down and don't use it anymore and just put it back in my pocket. So in those kinds of situations, it is, I found myself to find it more practical. Maybe we have this conversation in a week and I'll be like, I love it. But right now for me, it's just, it's a huge departure from the P30 Pro that I was using. So, you know,
I think you make a great point, because it's a new hardware paradigm and the software has to catch up. And from everything I've read about and what's going on is that we still need to figure out what the UI experience is with the two phones and with the two screens and how they work. And that's going to take iteration. You know, like the first step was make it work, make it fold and make the screens work. Now figure out the software.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I feel that they've done a ton of really cool things with the software, but everything is focused on the inside. Like, assume that the outside, again, you're using a Moto Razr and the most you could do is like take a selfie with it, with the outer display and pressing the volume button. That's what you have here. Well, for Samsung, it's like, listen, we don't want you to be on the inside. We want you to be on the outside.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were going to say something. Sorry. You were going to say something.
Oh, no. I was going to say using the front for selfies is perfect for Free Flow.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
Wait, but here's the thing. There are some missed opportunities. Like there are six cameras, right? So you have three at the back, two inside, and then one here. So here's the thing. If you hold the product like this, the smaller screen is here. Your primary cameras are here. So why can't we just turn on this outer display and use it for selfies? It would have been perfect, but no, you can't. You can't turn on the outer display while the product.
Good point. Yeah.
That's like such a missed opportunity. But then, you know, this is what I feel, but then I do understand the reason why. If you try to take a selfie with this thing open, like in landscape mode, it's kind of a nightmare to jar this product without feeling like if you're going to drop it. So I totally understand the engineering reason why, you know what, yeah, let's not do it. Or probably they haven't thought about it. And guys, it was my idea, so patent my name on it. but then again, because the software was designed mostly for the inside, the multitasking is like really cool. Being able to, you know, launch Chrome, and then when you launch Chrome, you swipe from the side, and then you choose an app. Let's say you want to throw WhatsApp in, and then
you're just dragging. Yeah, you're just dragging and opening.
You just drag like that, and then you. But the problem is, again, depending on the design of the app, sometimes the dragging is a little impractical, and then I want to grab my Amazon app and drag it and throw it down there. But then there are certain apps that aren't supported. And so I like the fact that Samsung will be like, all right, fine. If the app is not supported, then I'll just have the app float over all other two apps. So you can still multitask to it. And that's the reason why you need those 12 gigs of RAM, by the way.
So it defaults to that mode, because I think it does that on the other GS phones as well. So it just defaults to that mode. That makes sense.
Exactly. So there is a solution for me. That's a really, really cool part of it. But then, you know, and the other thing is app continuity. Like I was telling you, could probably start a message from here and be like, you know what, I need more real estate. So you
I
just
have more
open.
To say.
Yeah, and most applications, the one like Samsung was telling us, obviously, you know, we just had our developer conference. We had a lot of developers jump on, and so they've got WhatsApp, they've got pretty much the Facebook applications, and they've got Microsoft applications in. They've got Google mostly, for example. Chrome will work well. Gmail doesn't necessarily do so. But there are a lot of apps that already support the multi-window. And there are a lot of apps that already support the continuity. Not all of them. Some apps, you know, for example, you will start something again because these are two different interfaces, the outside and the inside. You will open, and sometimes it will either not open the app or it will open the app, but it won't, the cursor won't be exactly where you left it. So, you know, again, it's still a work in progress.
Clearly. So I'm curious, what about very quickly the camera? You had a chance to, you know, see.
Like if you've used an S10 Plus, this is literally an S10 Plus in every absolute way. which makes me wonder why for $2,000, well, $1,980, I guess, why is there no time of flight sensor? There's a depth sensor, an 8-megapixel depth sensor in the inner selfie camera. But you know that if you get the Galaxy S10 5G, that includes a time of flight sensor. There are some added functions to that that I don't know if you've played with the S10 5G. I did play with it in Barcelona. There's like augmented video where you can, you know, like depth sensing, full blown 3D sensing video. There are certain options that you can do with the S10 5G that you can't do with the others. And so that's not on the Fold at all. Another thing that's not on the Fold is the Instagram mode. If you see the Instagram mode on the S10, you won't get it on the Fold.
They made a big deal about that. They didn't even put it on the Fold.
Now, here's the thing. When I opened the box, immediately popped it out, there was already a software update. So this is not actually, these are European units, by the way. They were like, you know, this was the quickest way for us to get you units. So, you know, we even asked, like, can we make full reviews out of them? They're like, well, we can't tell you not to. But obviously not. There are certain things that won't necessarily work here, like Samsung Pay and everything. Go for it.
I was going to say, why are they it seems like they're rushing this.
Yes, a little.
Right? Like especially given the positioning with the price point and all that sort of stuff. Am I crazy?
No, so I guess they rushed for us to be able to have units, because I do know that the devices that you can pre-order today for T-Mobile, AT&T, and Best Buy that you'll be able to pick up on the 26th, those are final. Those are final. It's just apparently those U.S. units weren't available for us to grab yet.
Okay.
And so that's the reason why they were like, you get European ones. Let's wait, you know, after the 26th, let's talk about U.S. models.
Interesting. Interesting.
I believe that they did the same with the Note 5, I believe. You know, sometimes you have, I mean, just to build this hinge, I forget how many parts are in the hinge. So I do understand that this is like a manufacturing nightmare right now. So
I would love to see that video. I'm not going to lie. I would love to see how these things are manufactured, because
I feel that most companies, I actually, in a conversation that I had with Huawei, I was like, you know, after I held the product, because, you know, we had so many conversations, I'm like, I don't care. And then they give me the product and I'm like, okay, I actually started caring now a lot. Like, really, like, I really like this. And so that's what I told Huawei. You guys should probably work on bringing certain media to see the process of building this product. And, you know, I said the same to Samsung, because you don't understand the difficulty of what it takes to mass produce something like this until you see it or until you show it. And it just gives you a little more perspective as to why. Like, for example, why is this product so expensive? I didn't understand it until I understood that these were two phones snapped into one, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And a third feature phone at the back. That's pretty much what you're buying here.
These and six are two cameras. Phones.
Six cameras. And also, like, the screen. This is a dynamic AMOLED display, but actually no other product has this screen. Mm. They went through I don't know how many hurdles to be able to make the screen this thin. Because to make it bend, the challenge wasn't just the hinge. That was like the most difficult engineering part were the hinge and how to make the display thinner to be able to do that.
Sure.
And obviously to be able to do it for 300,000 repetitions, which is what this is certified for. I probably have already wasted like around 1,000 in the past 24 hours, because everybody, like, it's hilarious. I walked into an Apple store to pick up a pair of AirPods, the new AirPods. And the moment I pulled it out to respond to an email, they're like, you've got new foldable. So, like, everybody walked around. It's like, oh, it's just folding it, just playing with it. It's funny.
It's definitely going to be something people want to see. I mean, it is the new hotness, and I'm very jealous that you have your hands on one.
It is the new hotness, and, you know, smartphones have been going. It's funny how, you know, Flo and I have been walking into so many briefings for the longest time. And I remember when HTC recently, I think it was the U11 or no, the HTC 10. The intro for that presentation was, smartphones have become boring. And so they walked us through all this presentation, and then they gave us another smartphone that looked exactly the same. So this is it's funny how Samsung didn't use any of that for this presentation. They were like, "This is the future," and I have to agree. because the only way to get to the future is to actually experiment now. I mean, the Nintendo Switch wouldn't be what it is if there weren't the flops of the previous Nintendos that launched in the middle to be able to allow this functionality. So I'm not going to criticize it. You know, I would have a really hard time criticizing the boldness because I was the first person to crack up on when I saw the Galaxy Note for the first time in Berlin, and I can't live without that thing now. You know, so it's just that you need that transition period, and that transition period will give you certain limitations, certain difficulties. I can totally understand where the technology is now, but the only way to perfect that is to support it. You know, that's right. That's at least my perspective right now.
It's definitely, we're definitely at a crossroads, and we're either going to, you know, embrace this and go down the road of it, or it's going to stick out like a chapter in history. Like, hey, remember when we had foldable phones, you know, it seems as if the manufacturers are staking their claim behind it. So I don't know. I love it.
Exactly.
To your point, like changing up the paradigm in some way and making us, you know, pushing the boundaries of what we're used to in terms of what a phone can do and how it works and how it interacts. And it can be a bumpy road. But to your point, the Note, we mocked the Note. We said it was huge and there's no way anyone wants a phone that big and all that sort of stuff. And now it's such a standard.
I remember that my photo for that Berlin trip was me holding a Galaxy Note in my ear and just cracking up. So it was intended to be a parody, and now it's reality. That's just that's the way it is. I have to, you know, companies that I admire, one definitely Samsung. How many products? I mean, the smartwatch. Who is not wearing a smartwatch right now? Does anybody remember what company built the first one? It was Samsung. Samsung did it before the Pebble. And I remember that we went to that briefing and it was like, wait a second, you can make phone. This is literally a phone in your wrist. And we just chuckled at the design, how ugly it was. We criticized it so badly. And now, you know, obviously it took many years for it to be perfected into what we're wearing now. Samsung, you know, they did with the Galaxy Note. They have had a few innovations. You know, the same with Apple when they launched the iPhone. People made fun of them, and look at where we're at now. And the other company that I admire is Huawei because of the amount of money they throw at R&D. Like literally, whatever. It's like the Google of hardware, where a lot of things like Project Fi is just an internal project, and they'll give you funding to be able to get it to work. And if it works after a year or so, they'll make it a product. That's pretty much what Huawei does. And so I find it fascinating. Like if you ask me which one do I prefer the Fold or the Mate X, I it's hard for me to say which one I like more because I like both. I find that this form factor is more durable. I find that the other one is more of what I would envision a foldable to be, where I can fully use the outer display as a phone, and then I could switch into a tablet whenever I want to, because I am a tablet user. There are a lot of people that are like, yeah, you don't need a tablet. Agreed. I do personally need tablets for my workflow. I use them a lot. So things that I would have loved about this Galaxy Fold, I would have wanted an S Pen on this thing so badly, because I do use stylus. I do use the S Pen. I do use the Apple Pencil, like, significantly in my workflow. I write down my scripts for my videos, and then I use the S Pen as a highlighter for what shots I've had, notes over my experience and things. And so and I've been on planes. I've noticed more people now using the Apple Pencil than ever before. I have a really good friend of mine that's a cartoonist, and for him, the Apple Pencil is like the second thing only to a Wacom, which is great. And so, you know, I wish that this thing would have given me more functionality for the tablet portion. But again, it's only been 24 hours.
First
I need
generation,
more time.
Too.
Yeah,
it's first generation, and I do need more time with it. But you know, it's funny, but I guess I now understand why they made this like so narrow. If you think about it, if you're holding two phones stacked together, if they made this the size of an S10 Plus, stack two of them together, this would be a very heavy product.
Yeah.
Very heavy. And so I think that they started with like a weight. They were like, okay, we need the hinge, which on its own has so many parts that'll make it crazy heavy. And then they were like, all right, and so it can't be that heavy. So they probably had a target weight, plus the battery that they could fit into it. And I guess that they work from there, but this is just my speculation. I have no idea how they went about it. But yeah, if they made it more like the Mate X, this would be a crazy thick product. Whereas in the case of the Mate X, that hump that's in the bottom, sort of like the Kindle Oasis, is where everything is. Mm. All the hardware is in that portion. But then Huawei was like, you know what? Why are we going to add cameras to this thing if we could use the same primary cameras for selfies and for everything? So what I would have loved to see from Samsung doing this is something you can already do with the Mate X whenever it launches.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So
this category.
Well, Jaime. It's crazy. Jaime, thank you so much for this great breakdown of it. Everyone should go check out your video on YouTube. The Samsung Galaxy Fold is awesome. Great video. yeah, so definitely go watch that. And Jaime, I know you were limited on time, so we don't hold you much longer.
I do. Yeah. I appreciate your understanding. I've got so many videos to do on this thing. It's just crazy.
Hey, we appreciate your time and coming on here to tell us your experience. You're hyping it up, so now we really want to get our hands on one.
So before you go, where can people find you?
Yes.
Either at Pocket Now everywhere, both Twitter, Instagram, all social media. And personally at Jaime_Rivera on Twitter, Jaime Rivera on Instagram. I'm mostly on Instagram than anything. But thank you guys for having me. And we should have this conversation again after I've played with it a little more.
Yeah, for sure. And I want Jason to be here to hear your take on this stuff, because I know Jason would love this conversation. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's – yeah. So thank you so much, Jaime. It was great having you on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. A pleasure. Bye-bye.
All right. Wow. All about foldables. What do you say, Flo? Want to change the name of the show?
I am – Yeah, that's a good one. I am just I'm still processing a lot of that right now.
Well, why don't we mix it up, and instead of staying on the hardware boat, why don't we switch over to news and get through the news?
Yeah, let's get through the news. I think that.
Yeah. Keeping Victor on his toes.
Now for the rest of the show, we're going to fold in Android news.
I like that. It reminds me of pancakes though, and now I'm hungry. You know, any folding stuff.
Yeah, thanks. I was working on that the whole
show. Anyway, it's dinner time. That's why. So remember a few years back when folks were complaining about their dying Nexus 6Ps? I don't know if you remember, but I know quite a few people in my life who had problems with that. So it turns out that there were so many folks who were not having it that they filed a class action lawsuit against Huawei and Google for the apparent boot loop problem that struck some of these Nexus 6Ps. So if you remember back in the day, there were some boot loop issues, like the Nexus 6Ps would effectively die. Didn't matter how much battery they had, they would just peter out. Well, last week, the two companies, Google and Huawei, had finally agreed to settle with this class action lawsuit. It's been going on for 2 years. So this started in April 2017. The lawsuit alleges that Google and Huawei breached the device warranty since they were aware of the issue, the boot looping issues, and they didn't respond to it. So both are liable to a $9.75 million settlement for the class action lawsuit that began 2 years ago, payments up to $400 for participating plaintiffs. And if you had happened to be a part of this set and you had gone through the warranty exchange program, which got you a Pixel in exchange for your broken 6P, you're only eligible for up to $10. But hey, that's some free apps. So if you got it, claim it. So this is just one of the many lawsuits that's been going on. And man, this really flew under the radar. So did you guys know that LG was the last in the hot seat for boot looping issues with the G4, V10, V20, Nexus 5X, and the G5? And this was happening just in January.
Oh my lord. It's a lot of boot looping.
Yeah, it's a lot of phones just in constant going. So
are you in the 6P suit as a 6P owner?
I actually think my husband might be, because he had to replace his battery with an aftermarket battery to get the 6P working. But I'm not, because the 6P I had was a review unit, so I didn't.
Oh, so you're not in it. You can't cash in on this. So yeah.
I got nothing in the game.
Maybe Jason's going to cash in on it as well, too. So, man, we love legal. We love legal class actions. That's fun.
I mean, it's money.
All right. Well, moving on. You know, everybody's security is just on everybody's mind. And, of course, is on Google's mind as well. And that's why Google rolled out a new two-step verification system that actually doesn't leverage SMS or emails or push notifications, rather your actual phone. So they announced the beta for the system where your phone can be your security key. Really interesting. So listen to this. It's built into devices running Android 7.0 and higher. And you use it to protect. You can use it to protect your own Google account as well as your Google Cloud accounts at work. And they also recommend it for people in their advanced protection program. And that's people like journalists, activists, business leaders, and political campaign teams who are at most risk of targeted online accounts, online attacks. And so basically to activate the phone's built-in security key, you need to have Android 7.0 and a Bluetooth-enabled Chrome OS, Mac OS X, or Windows 10 computer with a Chrome browser. And basically what you do is you go into your Google account on your phone. You make sure you're enrolled in the two-step verification program. Then on your computer, you visit the two-step verification settings and click Add Security Key. And then you choose the Android phone from the list of available devices, and you're done. It uses Bluetooth to send the security key to the phone. And now when you're signing in, you make sure Bluetooth is turned on your phone and the device you're signing in on, and you'll get a – and it shows here, you get a prompt saying, hey, someone's trying to access your account. Is this you? And you say, yes, it is, or you say, no, it's not. And it gives an added layer of security. And Google touted their own Titan security keys, and they actually suggest that they recommend you register a backup security key to your account in case you lose your phone. So, Flo, what do you think of this kind of step towards even added security? Is this enough to protect people from getting their stuff hacked?
I mean, I would hope that it is. It's certainly like it's an extra gate, right? Always helps, and that always helps. That's why we always say like do TUFA, enable that. That's going to enable that extra little gate before anybody gets in.
But that's the thing is that's getting. I mean, I told you the story offline. A friend of mine got caught up in the big SIM cloning thing that's been going on at T-Mobile, where he had two-factor authorization set up for everything, and someone cloned his SIM card and took over his phone number, and then reset his password and got the code via SMS and was able to change all his passwords and take over his accounts. Like it's horrifying. Now, if he had this. He would have to have the physical phone next to the computer trying to access the account, and you'd get an alert on your phone, and it goes through like a very tight security key. Seems to be a little more protected. You know, as people who are doing malicious things are figuring out ways to break the ways that work, like 2FA, we need to come up with things like 2SV to help navigate it to be even more secure. So
that is a good point. And also, I think that everybody should enable this. Anybody who has a huge stake, especially in their Google account.
Yep. Or if you have like 19 Google accounts like I do, like just lock them down. Lock them down.
Just lock them all down.
Yeah. You see, I went from POP3 to now I'm just all IMAP and Google. And literally I actually hit the point on a Chrome browser where I'd logged into too many accounts. I got a warning that I needed to sign out of one before I could log into another. And you know what? And then it doesn't let you pick which one to sign out of. You have to sign out of all of them, which is a huge pain in the butt. So.
Oh gosh! Well, they're trying to keep you safe, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Sure. So also trying to keep safe. So I'm kind of more familiar with this is our next news item. I'm kind of more familiar with this because I do the nature of my job. Sometimes I need to record conversations, and I do, of course, after I tell the person on the line that I am going to record it. And I used to be able to do this with Android apps, but in recent years, this has become virtually impossible to do on an Android phone. Which is why I don't do my interviews over the phone anymore. I do them all through my computer, through Hangouts. So this was made even harder on your Google phone recently because Google had blocked the last known method that any of the call recording apps could use to access that feature. Well, fortunately, XDA developers, they are saying that Google's considering adding a native call recording API in a future version of Android. So in Google's issue tracker, the following comment was left from a Googler. Our development team has been adding call recording APIs on their roadmap. It's something that we would like to address in a future version of Android. However, due to the security and privacy implications of such APIs, it is not something we can deliver for the Q release. So it's not coming soon, but the idea is that it's there. It's happening. And I, for one, would like to see if I could get like an official... If not going to have like a robot, like you press a button and then maybe the robot says like, this call is being recorded or monitored or whatever, then that kind of takes care of the legalities for me. I feel like that would be very helpful. But of course, it would probably bum out a lot of the app developers who made recording apps. So there's also
But that is and such is progress, right? Exactly. That's what has to happen, you know. And so they need to adjust, and that's what's got to happen. I mean, this isn't the first time app developers have made a bit of functionality, then Google's come in and added it to the OS, right?
That's very true. So, yeah. And it's worth mentioning, by the way, that XDA developers article mentions Android R, which I haven't even thought about because we're still trying to figure out Android Q.
Android R Raspberry.
Oh.
Anyway, so, all right. So we're going to round out this batch of news with some interesting data from Q4 2018. We love data, don't we, Flo?
Yes, we do.
So listen to this. Florence, Victor, are you guys sitting down?
Yes. Yes.
Victor, are you sitting down? I know you like to stand when you do the show.
I'm standing, but
he's standing.
On.
Okay.
He's sit down.
I heard him. He's sitting down. He's sitting down now.
All right, listen to this. Over one-third of consumers who bought the Google Pixel 3 in Q4 2018 and the OnePlus 6T, that should be or the OnePlus 6T during Q4 2018 were previously Samsung owners. Think about that.
What does that say?
A third of the Pixel 3 and OnePlus 6T purchases were former Samsung users. This is according to Counterpoint Research, Counterpoint Research's U.S. smartphone churn tracker. And also interesting, less than one in five people who bought either device were a previous Apple user. All right, so this is the rise of the Pixel and OnePlus as phones. In Q4, the Google Pixel accounted for 7.3% of Verizon's total sales, while the OnePlus 6T made up 2.4% of T-Mobile's total sales. Now, that might seem like a small number, but 2.4% of all of T-Mobile sales with all the phones they make go into OnePlus, I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that is, and especially shows that people are finding out about, like, Samsung is no longer the only one that's kind of associated. For a while, it was, if you saw Android marketing, a lot of that was tied to Samsung, which was kind of a bummer for the rest of us. But now, even recently, I saw that I think LG was knocked out of, like, the number three spot or something and replaced by Google. Like, their marketing is clearly working. People are getting the message that there's more than just a Samsung phone that you can choose from. And not to mention, like, the Pixel, that camera is phenomenal. And then in the 6T, that's an amazing value that you're getting for, like, basically $600. You're not going to get that with the Samsung devices.
Well, if anything, these trends are interesting in that I think people are – we always talk about people being so loyal to Apple and to Samsung. And it seems as if now Samsung users are starting to crack maybe. I don't know if the Fold will bring them back. But Apple users, I think definitely – a lot of the people I talk to who are Apple users express frustration with the iPhone. And is it the time that they're coming and looking at the Pixel? Google stepped up the marketing. They've really made an effort to make this a consumer-friendly phone. It seems like it's working.
I see a lot more of them out in the wild than I used to.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's going to wrap it up for news. Let's take a break. We've been going for a while. Let's thank our sponsor because this episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress, one of my favorite people, the folks at WordPress. And they want to ask you a question. What would you do if you could do anything? Now you can build a website that can with WordPress.com. With powerful site-building tools, thousands of themes, and 24/7 support from real experts, WordPress.com lets anyone pursue whatever it is they love by launching a site that's free to start with room to grow. WordPress.com was started so anyone can publish their ideas. No two-week trials, no hidden fees, and best of all, WordPress users own their content forever. It is your website. It's your content. You own it. WordPress.com is built to grow with you, to get you where you want to be tomorrow. Their customer support team is made of actual WordPress experts who are standing by to help you 24 hours a day, including weekends, which, let's be honest, that's when you actually have time to work on your website. Nights and weekends, they are standing by to help you when you need it. The WordPress platform is so flexible and powerful that some of the biggest companies on earth use it to build their websites. And millions of people use WordPress.com every day to turn their dreams into reality. I am one of them. Every time I need to roll a new website, I turn to WordPress. All the websites that I manage on my personal side of things for podcasts, finalepodcast.com, my website for my other podcast is run on WordPress because it's so easy to get the site up and running and I can fine tune it to look and act the way I want to. And when I get into a jam, WordPress support is there to help me. So listen, don't take my word for it. This is what you want to do. Go to WordPress.com/allaboutAndroid for 15% off any new plan purchase. That's WordPress.com/allaboutAndroid for 15% off your new website. WordPress.com/allaboutAndroid. And we thank WordPress for their support and for helping us make great websites. Thank you, WordPress. You're the best.
Also helping me make a website. I think we can eschew the hardware bumper.
No, let's do it again.
You want to do it again?
We'll
let's
have a good
do
bumper.
It again. Victor, would you, do you mind?
So we're flying by the seat of our pants, Flo. Why don't we start with the Pixel?
Yeah, let's start. Okay, well, not just any Pixel. It's the Pixel 3A and 3A XL, possibly.
You mean the 3 axle?
Yes, the 3 axle, exactly. The thra and the thra axle. So apparently we might be getting, no, we are getting a hardware announcement on May 7th. That's 2 days before my birthday and Ron's birthday. And also the first day of Google I.O. So it looks like we may be going back to hardware being announced at the Google I.O. keynote, which is very exciting. It's very exciting. I mean, demos are fun, don't get me wrong, but hardware, I mean, that's the fun stuff. So we've been teasing this Pixel 3a and 3a XL. That's been going on. Well, now Google is teasing it on its in the Google store. They've got a teaser that says something big is coming to the Pixel universe. I don't know if it's bigger than the phones they have already, but it's certainly going to add to the phones that Google sells, which maybe will convert more Samsung users. Who knows, as is the trend.
I've been screaming for a mid-level Google phone for a while.
Yes. So reportedly, the 3A lineup will offer the same camera performance, which is definitely like, that's the Google signature thing there. Like now you've got that Pixel Core processor. You've got, you just have that amazing night sight. It's like how, it doesn't really compare. And so, of course, put that into a body that's just a little bit cheaper than the high-end phones. That's how you sell phones.
It is very clever that they are leveraging the 3A with their partnership with Marvel Studios and the upcoming Avengers film.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that going around social media.
I approve of that. I think it's neat. It's going to be, I mean, this is hardly a kept secret. We've been talking about this for the past couple of weeks. I'm glad they're finally making it official. And, if we get some good phones out of it that at an affordable price that can help convert more Samsung and, Apple users, I'm all for it. So.
And also there will be new Playmoji coinciding with the release of Avengers Endgame. So you'll be able to hang out, I'm guessing, with Captain America on the subway platform.
Not bad.
Not bad. And nobody, oh, just kidding. Not going to say that because I was about to spoil some stuff.
Yes. No spoilers. Well, okay. So moving away from Google for a moment and back to foldables, because it is all about foldables. As if foldable screens weren't enough, LG is throwing their hat in the ring and attempting to make the phone of my dreams. And once again, I hope Flo and Victor, you're still sitting down. A transparent display foldable phone.
This is literally the phone of Ron's dreams, by the way, because this is a lot like the phone in the Expanse.
Yeah, the phone in the Expanse is what I want. Exactly. That doesn't fold, but it is transparent. But so basically, details of a patent filed by LG in 2015 show a smartphone with a transparent folding screen. So one half of the phone would be transparent, while the other half would have an opaque section that would store the battery and internal components. Because you need to hide that stuff somewhere. Before you get too excited, it doesn't seem as if LG is in any rush to get this out. Because this patent was filed in 2015. LG's gone on record saying that they aren't buying into the whole foldable revolution. And instead they're opting for a more conservative approach. Like we were just looking at the second screen option in the LG V50, which is basically a two screen phone in the LG V50, but isn't actually a foldable display. But according to this patent filing, they've thought about the idea of not only a foldable phone, but a transparent display, which is the phone of my dreams. So maybe LG will dust this off and actually manufacture this. Who knows? But it is out there in the ether. If we all, if like Peter Pan, if we all wish it, maybe it will come true.
Well, yeah, and just, I know this is very inside baseball, but it'd be very nice to have LG kind of come out with something a little innovative, because Samsung's been really steamrolling everyone.
But I mean, but that's the thing, LG's firmly put themselves in the role of like, we're being safe. We're a safe phone brand.
You know what? And, it probably is a good time, because if you're not going to have anything to knock Samsung off the foldable rocker, then you got to come out with a bang, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. I think this is great. But the fact that it's a 4-year-old patent shows that someone dreamed up the idea. They came up with it. They want to get it before someone else does. And they're either going to sit on it until someone else figures it out. Or maybe they're doing it in their R&D. You know, they're trying to get the prices down. Who knows? Hopefully this leads to transparent aluminum, the alloy of the future. But time will tell. So
time will also tell what is going on with Google's home strategy, because if you've been paying attention to some of the Android-specific blogs out there, 9to5 Google in particular, had pointed out that Google had accidentally leaked the forthcoming Nest Hub Max. And I had to take a pause there, because there are three names to this. So it's not the Google Home Hub. It's the, I'm assuming, would be Google Nest Hub Max or something like that. Anyway, I don't know. But apparently this is a product that is going to happen. So Google is going to rename, or at least launch, a hub with the Nest moniker attached to it. And according to reliable source through 9to5 Google, Google will relaunch the Google Home Hub as the Nest Hub, putting in line with the new 10-inch version of the device, dubbed the Google Nest Hub Max. So there will be two devices, I guess. The larger of the two devices will pack a Nest camera for security and duo calls. So you'll have the specific Nest security one, and then you'll have just a smaller one that I guess it's rebranded. That's why it's a little like, it's a little slightly confusing just for that. But we're not really sure when this is going to happen, if it's going to happen alongside the Pixel 3a launch on that May 7th keynote at Google I.O., or if it's going to be like a random update. We're just going to wake up one day and it'll just be there in the Google store. I don't know. I'm just right now, I'm a little perplexed at how this is going to work, because a lot of people are kind of up in arms over, why are they attaching the Nest brand to it? What, you know, why are they doing this? But
I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We did. Again, I challenge, what value does the Nest brand have? Now, when reading this, I understand, because Google Home Hub was built in such a way to be like the nerve center of your IoT home, right?
Yeah.
And that it had that great control panel. And that's a natural extension to the Nest thermostat and the Nest security cam and all that sort of stuff. And so I understand the product confusion that might exist, going, oh, you have Nest products, you need this Google Home product to bring them all together. I understand that with the Nest products, it's probably good to have a Nest version, so that the people who aren't like us say, oh, I just buy Nest, mm-hmm, that's what mm-hmm. I need, so give me the Nest thing. I challenge that, get rid of Nest and make it the Google Home thermostat and the Google Home, you know, camera and the Google Home doorbell and all that sort of stuff, and keep it all within Google Home and Google Assistant and all that stuff, because I just think Google's the more powerful brand. But what do I know? Because maybe people don't trust Google and they think they trust Nest, not knowing that it's owned by Google.
Yeah, or it's just that folks know that Nest is the home product. Like if you go to Home Depot and Lowe's, there's a Nest display, not necessarily. Well, I guess there were Google displays after the Google Home came out and they started doing that. And maybe that's why they were rebranding it. So it makes more sense when they put it in the middle of Lowe's and Home Depot. Maybe.
Yep.
Consolidated marketing.
I don't know. It's strange decisions. All right. So, want to take a moment and talk to you guys about the Motorola G7 phones?
Yay.
Yeah, I had the opportunity, thanks to their friends at Motorola, to play with the Motorola G7, which I showed when I got it. But I also got my hands on the Motorola G7 Power.
Ooh.
Which is the big battery version.
It's like 5,000 milliamps.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So many milliamps. But yeah, so these are the Motorola G line. I went to the launch event for these. There's a third phone in the mix, which is the low cost one, the Moto G7 Play, which I didn't get to play with, ironically. But what Motorola is doing with the G lineup is no different than what they've done over the past few years, which is the Motorola G has been a affordable, sensible phone that gives you a solid smartphone Android experience. I don't want to use value as a bad word, Flo. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's a value choice, but it doesn't mean that you're skimping out on it.
Yeah.
Right. It's affordable, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, given that, you know, like the, you know, OnePlus 6T is a great phone, but that's getting pretty expensive. And that's, you know, like it's, you know, phone prices are getting out of control. So it's nice to see Motorola come out with a $300 level phone that, and I don't want to say a normal person, but an average person can get a great experience out of it. So starting with the Motorola G7, good. There's good and bad. All right. It's got a great screen. Right. It's a solid phone. The battery, you know, I forget the milliamps on the Moto G7, but, you know, I think in the 3000 range or so mm-hmm. around there. So it can get you through a day. It's a good go to phone for all your needs. Motorola has really I talked about when they announced it, they stripped out the operating system to be as close to standard Android as possible. Very few little Motorola kind of touches there to it, which is a big difference from the Motorola of yesteryear. They've got some stuff in the camera. They have some Moto kind of gestures and things like that. But aside from that, it's stock Android. Super easy to use. Those of you at home who love the headphone jack, it's got a headphone jack. So like if you're looking for a standard mid-entry, if you need to give a phone to your kid, to a teenager, or if you're starting out in your career, you can't afford the nicest phone. If you got a Motorola G7, you would be solid and will give you exactly what you need. That said, there's some negatives to it. Mm. The battery's fine. Like I said, it didn't, you know, blow me away, but it made it through the day, which is important. Whether or not you like the teardrop notch or not, it is there. So it's hard to see on this, but there is a teardrop notch.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. You get used to it. Also there's no NFC, which is something that I've come to depend on greatly. But for the price point of, you know, like I think Best Buy's got this for $199. You can get it at Amazon for $299. You know, it's an affordable phone. That you know can get the job done. But if you're looking for a little more, you know, oomph to it, the Motorola G7 Power is the one that I would go with. All right. So this is got just quick on the specs. You know, it's 6.2 inch HD plus Max Vision display. It's got the 19:9 aspect ratio, which I've become addicted to, oddly enough. It's got 3 gig of memory, 32 gig of storage. It does have a micro SD expansion card, which is cool. Camera wise, 12 megapixel on the back with the Motorola quarter lens system there. 8 megapixel on the front. But like we talked about, the 5000 milliamp battery. This sucker is a beast, right? As an experiment, I gave it a full charge. All right. And just carried it around with me, using it very lightly, you know, not really doing too much with it, but also not using it. That was 5 days ago and we're at 78%.
What?
Yes. See, right now you can see we are at 77%.
Wow.
Right. So it's crazy. If I did nothing with this phone, according to the battery stats, it's got 26 days left of battery. That's if I don't use it, right? Once you start using it and connecting and doing all that stuff. But you could easily get through. You could go away for a week and, you know, like 5 days or so and probably not have to charge. That's how insane this battery is.
Does it have any other bells and whistles besides the big battery?
Not really. And in fact, it actually, what you get for battery, it takes away from the screen. So actually, I found the display on the Motorola G7 to be a little nicer than the display on the Motorola G7 Power. So that's something to think about. It doesn't have NFC either, so they both don't have NFC. So to get to that lower price point, they're sacrificing components like NFC. And I will admit, you do have a big battery. It is a heavy, chunky phone. It is a noticeably like thicker, noticeably heavier phone. But like you said there on their website, they're with average use up to 3 days of power on a single charge. And if you conserve that, I think you could push it to 4 or 5 days. So really, really just fascinating to see what they're able to pack into it. All in all, I like these phones. I've always liked these phones. I've always been a fan of the Motorola G series. I think that the price point and the Android operating stuff is the key to this, is that you're not paying $1,000 for a flagship phone. And from a software standpoint, you're not getting anything less. You're not getting a crazy camera like the OnePlus 6, or the Pixel 3. Like, it's not like, I don't think the camera's going to blow anyone away, but it's also not going to be bad. It'll take pictures. It'll take just as good of pictures as you need. I just think, in this expensive cell phone world, it's nice to have an option that is affordable and can give you everything that you want out of the phone. So.
I'm very curious how this market is going to change when this Pixel 3a comes in.
I mean, right now, I mean, like, if the Pixel 3a didn't exist, the Moto G7 and the G7 Power are my two recommendations for a mid-range phone.
Yeah.
Easily, hands down.
Well.
I should note that I did get the 6.7 Power. I got a nice little metallic blue color there.
That is really pretty. That's a really pretty phone for $250.
It's a pretty phone. Yeah. So $250 for 4 days of battery life. That's crazy.
That's a good travel phone. If you're going from like country to country, that is a good phone to take with you. I would imagine.
For sure.
Yeah.
You get a little more storage with the G7. You get 64 gig versus the 32 gig in the G7 Power. And you get a little extra RAM with the G7 versus G7 Power, 4 gig in the G7, 3 gig in the G7 Power. But so the G7 Power is a little, ironically, for something with the word power in it, is dialed back in terms of its specs. Yeah. But what you're lacking in extra memory, you're gaining an extra battery. So it's a choice that you have to make. I don't know. I think these are great phones. If I had a teenager, I would be buying him or her. If my kids were teenagers, I would. Luckily, they're not. I've got a long time
not
to go.
Yet.
But I would get them the Moto G7 in an instance as a good entry point Android phone for sure.
Maybe they're going to ask for see-through phones. Maybe LG will finally have launched its see-through phone.
By the time my kids have phones. Oh, jeez.
Let's send this out with one more phone, just one more phone. So Oppo, which is the name we throw around a lot here, even though you're not necessarily able to buy the phones here in the United States, but globally, Oppo makes a splash. So they've got this new Reno smartphone series, but it's not a slot machine. But actually what it does have is it has a camera slot. So there's a camera that pops up, but it's not just any camera. There's a Reno Standard Edition and the Reno 10x Zoom Edition. So if you want to get the 10x Zoom Edition, that is available. Otherwise, you're just getting a phone with a Qualcomm Snapdragon 855 chipset, a 6.6-inch Full HD Plus AMOLED display. It's a very generous 93.1% body screen-to-body ratio, which, of course, is helped by that pop-up slot. Other features include NFC, an optical in-display fingerprint reader, which is kind of becoming all the rage these days, Dolby Atmos, a 4,065 milliamp battery, high-res audio support, triple microphones. This thing is packed. Oh, and it's very pretty on the back in this picture that we see on Engadget. The camera is a 13 megapixel f/3.0 periscope zoom camera. So Oppo had actually teased this back in February. Now it's here in the flesh, or rather it was announced in Shanghai. And it also has an 8 megapixel f/2.2 super wide camera at 120 degrees and a whopping 48 megapixel f/1.7 main camera. So that is a focal length ranging from 16 millimeter to 160 millimeter. And that is the one in the 10X hybrid Zoom. I am just astounded by the specs on this thing. And as we have seen, what becomes very popular in China usually finds its way to us. So
can we go back? Can we go back to the photo of it, by the way?
Yes, Flo, please. It's really pretty.
It's very pretty, but I'm falling in love with the pop-up camera wedge.
It looks like a little, like, hello, peekaboo.
It's like hello, hi, camera's here, pop-up, here you go. Like, it's funny because we joked about, I forgot the phone with the little, with the rectangle-based pop-up camera.
I think it was an Oppo phone.
yeah, it was. I love that someone in Oppo product development is like, listen, pop-up lenses is the future, and I'm going to make this work. And this one is neat. I think with that wedge, you get a little more stability in the pop-up, right? It's not as flimsy. I'd be worried about it popping up in my pocket. And that's not a euphemism, but
yeah,
I'd worry, you know, what would happen if it pops up and you're walking and there's a break and that sort of thing. I want to feel it, but I feel way more confident with this design than the little rectangle popping up out of the corner.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. And there is a standard edition. So the one that I had mentioned is the 10 times zoom one. And there is a standard edition with the same 48 megapixel camera. So it's a lot of numbers. Those are big numbers.
Big numbers.
Big numbers. Exciting.
Yeah. Interesting. So Oppo is related to OnePlus, right? Oppo is an investor or backer or whatever is OnePlus.
Yes.
Does this sort of technology make its way to OnePlus ever?
Probably. I mean, I would imagine if they're sharing factory lines, if OnePlus has access to that, that's something they would consider. I think. I would really want to know what the OnePlus fan base, if they are hyped about the idea of a pop-up camera, because OnePlus is a very fan servicey OEM, which has boded very well for them in this entire time. I mean, look, we were just talking about how people are leaving Samsung for them. So I'm wondering if that's something that they could say, hey, folks who love us, do you want something like this from us? And I imagine that they would find a way to make that happen. So,
well, it's funny because you talk about OnePlus and pleasing fans. We were going to skip this, but I think we should go back to it.
Yeah.
The OnePlus 7 Pro recently possibly leaked, and some rumors that it could be the OnePlus's entry into the 5G market. But what's more interesting is that this leak features a curved screen and a headphone jack. Talk about making the people happy.
Yeah.
Nothing makes users happy than a headphone jack. Do you think, Flo,
a dongle.
Yeah, true, exactly. And as someone who's a OnePlus user with my red dongle while I was out running with my headphones, Flo, do you think that these leaks are true, or do you think that these are just internet speculation run wild?
I'm always remiss to say anything is true until I hear something from the company, because it's, you know, it's all just rumors in the end. But I also think the OnePlus fans are very loud and proud, and if they want a curved screen and a headphone jack, it's coming.
Well, and we're due for a OnePlus 7. I mean, the OnePlus 6, I'm a proud OnePlus 6 user, it's been out for a while. 7 is due, right?
That's right. What, 6 came out last summer, and then we got the 6T over the fall, and so it is time for a refresh of that OnePlus, and they are gonna kind of bring over what is kind of popularized overseas. So I'm curious, and I'm very curious about the curved screen, too. I hope that it's more usable than kind of what I'm experiencing with the Samsung devices. Sometimes they're a little frustrating to use. Anyway.
So much hardware this week, Flo.
Yeah,
so
it's
much.
A lot. I'm a little bamboozled by all the hardware.
But before we go into the apps, do you want to talk about the Galaxy Fold a little more?
Do you want to talk about the Galaxy Fold a little more?
I could talk about it for all night, but I feel like that's adequately covered, I think. So.
Yeah, I think if I had one final thought about it, it would be that I am curious to see how this is going to wear down over the next couple of weeks. I want to hear from the folks who have it in their hands in the next couple of weeks what the real usage is like, what life is like with a foldable phone. Because I think when you have it at first in your hands, it's so exciting to see this, especially because we've been dying for innovation. But I think the real test is, what is this like in the real day-to-day, like when you get back to the doldrums of the everyday work life?
And it's the software. It's all about the software.
Well, right? We'll see if One UI can do the deed.
All right, well, let's do the apps deed next with a little apps action.
So apps, we're going to take nice and easy today. And kind of the first wave of taking it nice and easy is looking at the Google Play Store redesign that 9to5 Google has managed to kind of hint away at. So this APK was uncovered that sort of showed this new lighter theme Ooh. Coming to the Play Store. We've got menus. We've got four tabs, kind of very similar. So what we see here is very similar to the Google Home app. So I see a lot of this redesign. You kind of have like the menu buttons at the bottom. You have a lot of the information is very condensed. And actually, if you look at it, it looks also very close to the Google Podcasts app. For anybody out there who is actually using that on a full-time basis. Now, there's no dedicated tab for accessing music in the bottom bar, but there is a new browse music shortcut in the navigation drawer, which navigation drawer kind of remains the same, but different. Like, there's just this lighter feeling overall for this particular redesign. I don't know. Ron, how are you feeling about kind of the way Google's been streamlining UI across the board? I like it, but I also like it if it comes with the dark mode, because I don't like to use all that whiteness.
I was about to say the same thing. Where's the dark mode? Right? Like, isn't that the future of Google app development? But in order to get to dark mode, you need to do this step first. And I think that the changes that have been made to Google News, to Google Home, to Gmail, to all this stuff has been moving in such a right direction. I love how they're taking material design and introducing those new custom fonts and introducing, you know, the cleaner, rounder kind of look. And then once they add that dark mode, then it's like, oh, it's perfection. So I welcome this change to the Google Play Store, which every time I go into it, I cringe.
And for those wondering, the font that Google uses is the Google Sans font, which is an open source font, and you can download it for your own use if you like. Just a little tidbit there.
Yep. Cool. That was sultry. I feel relaxed. Thanks, Flo.
I tried.
All right. So a little bit of snark for a moment, but do you remember, Flo, do you remember Google Currents?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a magazine app. It was a magazine app that Google had that was kind of like for publishers and for, you know, for content. They actually rebranded that as Google Play Newsstand, and then that was folded into Google News. But I hope you're still sitting down.
Yes.
It's back. Well, kind of. But before I tell you about Currents, do you remember Google Plus? I think you do.
Yeah. Yes, I do. It's not too long ago that it left us.
Right. You remember how they just shut it down recently?
Yes. We're still
mourning. Well, it's back. In less than 2 weeks. So at the Cloud Next 2019 conference, Google announced that Google Plus for Enterprise is now called Google Currents.
Okay, so they took an old moniker and they reapplied it here.
Yeah, so they took the old brand name of Google Currents, which they own the trademark for and all stuff like that. They've rebranded Google Plus for Enterprise as Google Currents. And basically, it's a new beta. It's a beta app that they're targeting at the workplace for the enterprise. And according to Google, Google Currents is a way for, quote unquote, employees to share knowledge and engage in meaningful discussions with others across their organization, regardless of title or geography. So it sounds like Google Currents is kind of taking a stab at Slack.
I was going to say it sounds like Microsoft Yammer. If anybody remembers Yammer.
That's a good choice. That's a good Yammer. Oh, man.
But I guess it makes sense, because if you're using the G Suite at work and you've already got your employees hooked into that, then all you have to do is just onload this into whatever server side thingamajig, thingamabob, and then everybody is able to essentially have like a centralized forum where everybody can come together. I mean, it makes sense. I'm okay with it. I like this consolidation of all this Google like work stuff. I want the work stuff to be separate from the consumer
side. I would love to hear from somebody who has Google Apps in their workplace and is using Google Currents for enterprise and actually using it. Going back to what we're talking about material, yeah. If you go back, Victor, if you can go back to the screenshot of it, they did take – it doesn't look like Google Plus. They did give it a little Google new design kind of theory to the screenshots of it. It looks a little, you know, kind of cleaner and that sort of thing.
It's very clean.
Yeah, exactly. So very curious. It's going to be available on the desktop and as a mobile app. And if anybody uses this in their workplace, write in. Please let us know.
Yes, please.
You can email us at aa@twit.tv. We want to hear from you. I actually have several small businesses that are using the Google App Suite, so I'm going to see if I can opt into this and play with it. But if anything, you know, just a way to increase collaboration and fill a hole that Slack and Yammer and other kind of collaboration tools are filling. And of course, Google wants to get in on that. And there are companies who might be like, you have to use our own, you know, these are sanctioned because they're secure and all things like that. So if you work for one of those companies, let us know. We'd love to hear about it.
Very this rat race for companies to kind of have their own executive their own executive spin on things is it's very interesting. But for me, it just means a lot of cool free stuff I get to use for my freelance business. So I welcome it.
There you go.
All right.
There's the old Currents.
Oh.
I remember that icon.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Or actually not R.I.P. because it's been resuscitated.
Back,
something
back to
else.
The dead. I wonder, so is Google Currents in that Google graveyard? I wonder, because then does it come back?
Right. It's been zombified. Yes.
Yeah, the Google Cemetery is, for those who don't know, gcemetery.co.
Yes.
Which ironically is sponsored by, I'm getting an ad for Slack. but let's see what it says for Currents. So Currents is not in the Google Cemetery.
Okay, because it's been revived and it is now a zombie. It is a walking zombie in the enterprise.
That's crazy. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It is there. 2011 to 2013. So they did not update this to say that it is back to life yet.
So it died and was reborn as something new.
Yep.
Yes. So. Well, that's nice.
All right. Anyway, moving on.
Spring theme, right? Okay. So we've got an email, actually, which is very exciting. We love emails. We really appreciate when you send them to us. So this one comes from Cobb from the UK. Cobb writes in, whilst listening to episode 415, Claw Control, have a look at the attached photo of full Android 8 running on my aftermarket head unit in Volkswagen Golf. It's great. I was reminded of how bad Snapchat is. I was so enraged that even after the update, it was still so bad that I researched to find the reason why, as per the below the link. Apparently, it is because they are using a 10-year-old camera API as opposed to the newer V2. I actually tweeted the below link on the official Snapchat Twitter account. Unbelievable how badly Android users are being treated. We have to suffer abuse from iPhone people calling our camera CCTV quality because of their app. Grr. Ran over. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you, Cobb. This is exactly why I kind of stopped using Snapchat. Also, the declining viewership. That was definitely a thing. I know this was a conversation that we had last week, but it is just another example of how frustrating it is when you have two major platforms like Android and iOS. And when developers consider one over the other, like, this is what happens. You're going to lose users. You're going to frustrate people. People are going to see what's going on. And we really appreciate listeners like Cobb for writing in and kind of pointing out, like, this is just this screenshot that we have up on the screen is just like, look how low res that is.
It's embarrassing, but like, I'm not surprised from Snap at all, given what their priorities are and how they operate. And so, like, the best thing you can do is not use it.
Yeah, you know, and not to mention, honestly, the content on there is not. It's gotten
not
a little.
It's not great, Bob.
It's yeah. Gotten a little seedy. I'm just gonna put it that way. Yeah. It's like watching Inside Edition of social networks.
Wow. Wow. There you go.
No shade inside right. Edition, but also all the shade. All right.
Thank you, Cobb, for the email. You can write in to AAA@twit.tv.
Yes, you can. Yep. Yes, you can.
Flo, you want to take us to the next place?
Yeah, I think we should go ahead and duke it out between the two of us. This is going to become very personal in just a second.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. All right, Flo. Well, I wasn't here last week, so walk us through last week's
yes. Apps. So last week it was between me, Jason, and our guest, Joshua Vergara. And let's see the results here. So we had Calendar Notify, which was from Jason. My pick was The Elder Scrolls Blades, and Turo was Josh's pick. And it's kind of somewhat even across the board. So coming very first even is my pick, which is The Elder Scrolls Blades. Coming in second was Josh slash the guest's pick, Turo, which was an app that lets you rent people's cars on the street, basically. And cool. Then Jason had Calendar Notify, which basically let you see your calendar in the notification shade. The standing this week, Ron, if you would like to take it away for us.
Yes, so 14 weeks of the arenas, thanks to Wade County in the chat room for keeping track of this. Flo, that win brought you up closer, but not quite in first place yet. The guests are still in first with 45 points. Flo, you are in second by 1 point with 44 points. Jason's in third with 32, and I'm way in the back with 26 points, still making up for being out because of the babies. But you never know. I can catch up. Yeah. It's so early. It's week 14. We got so many more weeks to go. But since I missed last week and technically lost, that means I go first.
Yes, you do.
And so Flo, I'm hoping that you installed my app so we can show it to our friends who are watching the show.
I'm wiping my phone first.
Cool. Okay. All right. Wipe. So everybody who watches the show, longtime viewers of the show, know that I love to-do apps. I love productivity apps, but I wanted to find an app that took a different approach to productivity and a different approach to really kind of accomplishing your goals. And sure enough, it's an app that's been around for a while. And Flo, you were surprised that it wasn't in the arena yet. Mm-hmm. It's called Goalify, my goals, tasks, and habits. And basically what this is that as opposed to having a to-do tracker or, you know, a productivity app, it is a way to track goals. So what you can do is you can set goals that are here. We're showing in this is the screen where you can set up your new goals. You can just start with one of their templates. So let's do that where you can – they have some pre-made templates to help you get started. And so let's say you want to set a goal to run 3 miles, or you want to set a goal to write 10 pages of your novel, or you want to set a goal to eat healthier or some other kind of thing. They've got a bunch of templates already set in place. So let's go to sports. Okay.
And it's going to the one more natural for me. Sorry.
Let's scroll down to running. They show you a bunch of different sports there. And so we're going to set a goal to run. And you want to say you can, and they've got suggestions. You can say, I'm going to go for a run every day, or I'm going to be running 3 miles every day, or I want to be running 15 miles every week. Those are just options to get you started. You can change the units that it measures in or what the, you can narrow it down. So, you know, say I want to run for I'll be running 45 minutes every day. So click on minutes there. There you go. And hit that second one. Boop. And there you go. And you move forward Boop. With that goal. Ta-da. And ta-da, Flo has just made a goal to run 45 minutes every day. And so what it does is it syncs into your account. And now when you look at your screen, you see your goal is there to run 0 out of 45 minutes. And if you tap on it, you can keep track of what you do. So if you do that, you say, okay, I ran for 15 minutes. So there you go. Yay. And so now we're 33% of the way there. So it's a great way to change your approach in the things that you're doing and how you track them, as opposed to doing like, oh, these are these things I have to do. Make it into gamify it, make it into a goal, and make it to, you know, someplace where you get a reward when you cross that line. I know for me at work, I drown in emails. And so I say, listen, I want to have my inbox I want to be at inbox zero by the end of the week. And that's my goal. And I'm going to track my progress on a daily basis. Now what's also neat. So in addition to all the, templates that they have, let's start add a new goal there, Flo. Yep. And new goal, there you go. And you can start a custom goal, and you can set stuff up on your own way. So you can, you know, make it a flex goal, which is something where you want to stretch what you're already doing. You can make it a task goal where you want to complete things, an avoidance goal if you want to avoid sweets or some other thing, or a limit goal. It's really just an interesting way, an interesting paradigm in how they kind of sum it up in terms of how you organize the goals. But if you hit back, in addition to goals, they have gamified this thing. So hit the X, go back to the main screen, and go to and tap new goal in the upper right-hand corner. And they have what they call challenges. So you can say new challenge. And what you can do is if your other friends are using Goalify, I can challenge you to run 45 minutes a week. And we can keep track of each other's progress and make it into kind of a fun way to keep track of that sort of thing. And if you close that out.
Oops.
There you go. Nice. So it's very talked about. You said we were going to get into a fight there. So yeah, so you give this code to your friends and they can plug in and tie into your challenge. Okay. If you go new goal, if you tap new goal again in the upper right hand corner, there are promoted challenges, which are kind of like, you know, Xbox Live in the whole world out there where the Goalify people are promoting challenges. So, you know, tap the water one. You can participate with all the Goalify users to, you know, to do the stay hydrated goal and take that challenge, and you can accept it and we'll add it to your activity list. So Goalify, it's a way to keep track of your goals, make it interesting, make it a little more gamified. It's free in the Google Play Store. You can have up to 3 goals in the free version. And then if you unlock the paid version via the in-app purchases, you can have as many goals as you need or want. And there's a whole bunch of different ways to look at it, different ways to slice the data and all that fun stuff. It's a really powerful app, really well designed. Goalify, free in the Google Play Store. Check it out if you want help achieving your goals. So there you go.
Well, now I know what I'm setting up tonight. Thanks, Ron.
Sure thing. You can do it, Flo. I believe in you.
I'm trying. My goal is just to leave the house every day. Like, yeah, if I can do that, good for me.
It's a very good goal.
All right. Thank you so much, Ron. It was a great app pick. So I've brought a bit of a low-key app to the – sorry, I'm like multitasking now. I've brought Notinger to the App Store. Now, I have kind of mentioned that I've been looking for apps that sort of replace some of the apps we've kind of gotten used to on Android. And so one particular app that's sort of gotten bogged down in my life is Google Keep, because – I have so much stored in there now. I have so many things pinned. And I'm not really using it as much for notes now as much as like a storage center for really important things. So when I want to just take a quick note, I found this app, which literally lets you kind of basically text yourself a note, kind of, sort of. So the way it works is the notes that you make will show up like this, kind of like you would in a message. And when there's an when something is done to the note, it will show up like this, kind of grayed out as a reply. So if I've got a new note, let's say, oh, I don't know, I want to remind myself to do something. So I'm going to remind me tomorrow to turn off something. All right. That's it. And so then what I can do is I don't have to write remind me. I can write turn off something. So then I can hit this little thing. And then tomorrow, Wednesday at 7 p.m., I suppose, I can set this reminder. And then it will kind of turn over to show that tomorrow there is a reminder that's set up. So this is, I mean, honestly, it's this is kind of all that this app is. It's just an easy way to just kind of take notes. You add notes to it as you go on, and it saves it. You know, the notes are just stored on the device and they never leave, and you just kind of have this like long running note. It's like a never ending notepad. It's super fast, it's quick to kind of slide up. You can long press to get some more options if you want to copy or archive a message, or maybe you want to edit something. Very easy, but that's honestly all there is to this app. It's just incredibly simple. So maybe nice. If you want to take down somebody's number or something, you could just use Notinger.
Very cool. I love a simple app.
So extremely simple. Talking about productivity there. Notinger. It's a dollar, but you know, I support devs and I would encourage you to support devs as well, because it is just a dollar. Okay, think about it. It's like a third of your coffee, okay? You can do that.
So the great thing about an arena that's only the two of us, even though we're like battling it out, you know, fighting each other for the win, there's no guests. So Flo, you're going to pass the guests no matter what. And there's no Jason. So I'm going to gain ground on Jason. So either way, Flo, we win this arena.
We both win, which is really just perfect.
Right. So we don't even need to know who's going to be the winner next week. Well, you know, but if you do want to get competitive, yes, you can vote in the arena. You can go to twit.to/AAApoll416. That's twit.to/AAApoll416, because it's April 16th for episode 416. And you can vote on your favorite app, whether it's Notinger or Goalify. And I'm curious who Victor's going to vote
for. Yeah, I wonder if Victor's going to start a war between us today.
Yeah, Victor, you have to choose. Who do you love more? Oh, my gosh, Victor. I can't believe it.
Victor wants to take notes.
Victor, I thought we had something.
Well, I agree with Flo about Google Keep being lots of stuff in one place.
It's tough. Yeah.
It just takes forever to load now, which is fine.
Wow, Victor. Now I know. Now I know where we stand.
Victor has no. Victor doesn't want to gamify his life. Although, Victor, you're a Pokemon Go player, so you're already gamifying your life just in a different way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right. We did it, Flo.
We did it.
We survived. Good job.
You know, I thought we did pretty well, actually.
We did great. Jaime was awesome. I miss Jason. I was looking forward to see him, but he's off having fun. I think all in all, this is the best show that we've done in 415 previous episodes.
Yeah, I like it when it's kind of nice and light like this, you know? And we had Jaime on here to talk about the foldable phone, and that was really exciting. So, but how do you really feel about it, though, now that you've had just kind of a little bit of time for it to sink in?
The foldable phone?
Yeah, just any last thoughts from you.
I'm still infinitely curious. I don't love the Samsung. I agree with Jaime in that I think I like the Mate a little more just because I feel like the Samsung foldable with that second screen isn't, I feel like they're cheating. I feel like that inner screen is the foldable and that's neat, but that second screen, it doesn't look usable and doesn't look like, it looks half baked. And so, it looks really thick. I don't know. I'm not sold on the Galaxy Fold. So.
You know what? It reminds me of my first touchscreen phone, which was not a capacitive phone. It was one of the old school. You had to press to touch. It was from LG, but it was had a QWERTY keyboard on the inside. And that thing was so frustrating to use on the front. I was always opening it up to do anything with it. So I hope it's not one of those situations.
Time will tell. The market will decide.
Also, phones back then were a lot cheaper. They were not $180.
Was I supposed to play the hardware bumper again?
No.
Yes. Roll the hardware bumper, Victor.
Well, three's a charm, right?
Oh, Victor.
Whoa.
You goat rolled me. Not cool, man. Not cool. You want me to come back next week? No more goats. So, all right. Let's wrap it up. This has been All About Android, episode 416. Flo, where can people find you?
You can find me at florenceion.com. Join my Discord. We've got links floating around out there on my website and on Twitter. And on Twitter at OhThatFlo.
Nice. On my side of the world, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RonXO. I'm probably more active on Instagram these days. Every now and then I post a zinger to Twitter, though. So you want to keep following that. I mentioned Finale podcast earlier in the day. We will be coming back to Finale. It's tough with two screaming babies, but we have plans. So don't worry. So stay subscribed to that. And Scorbit.io is my pinball hardware startup, which we're working very hard on. I was on a long call about that today. So very excited for that. So those are all my things that I'm working on. So
look at us, Ron. We're just working away. Two toiling Tauruses.
Indeed. Victor. great job, man.
Thank you, Victor.
You're the backbone.
Thanks. At least I got to play that hardware bumper one more time.
And sneak a goat in there.
Oh, worst. Jason's back next week, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah. Jason's back next week. So we'll get back to normal.
And hey, we're 3 weeks away from IO, Flo. 3 weeks away from our birthdays.
I know. That's going to be such a crazy week. And 3 weeks away from Detective Pikachu.
It's very exciting.
Which excites me.
It's all happening.
It's all happening all right, this same week.
Why don't you take us out?
All right. So that is it this week for the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, if you would like to leave us a voicemail, we are still accepting those. You can call us at 347-SHOW-AAA. Just type that into your dial pad and that'll reach us. If you want to send us an email, we love those too. Our email address is AAA@twit.tv. Just send it right over. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter or reply to us, you can at Android Show. Very easy to remember. You can also access the Arena apps list at twit.to/Android apps. And you can access the stats at twit.to/Arena stats. One word. The show notes and past episodes are available at twit.tv/AAA. You can come watch the show live in beautiful Petaluma. All you need to do is email us at tickets@twit.tv so that we know you are coming so we can put out a chair for you. We always love to have an audience. Of course, when we don't have an audience, we always have Alex here, which we always appreciate. Or, of course, you can catch us live here every Tuesday where we always are at, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific time. At twit.tv/live. That is it for the show this week. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this week. And now, Ron and I shall bid you adieu.